Hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Dunker Spot. We are part of the Basketball News Podcast Network. I am your host, Nikias Duncan, and joining me as always is my co-host, Steve Jones Jr. How are you doing, sir?
Feeling good, feeling great, happy to be here, excited to be here. Thank you, Dunkers, for once again embracing your bounce.
We are off to a riveting start.
Oh, man, I'm here for the vibes today. My boy done turned a leaf. Nikias, hope you had a good weekend, man. Hope everything lined up for you. I know it started out hot. Hashtag is Mr. ABO. It was all a dream.
Here we go.
WNBA legend Angel McCautry and Dwight Howard were in the building. Nikias was literally two rows behind them.
Oh. It wasn't that close, but it was close.
Maybe the dream wasn't a reality, you know?
Maybe
it wasn't the most united weekend for you, but I am here to brighten your day.
Go, get your jokes off, man. It's fine. Let's get the jokes out the way.
Or maybe you're enjoying your time in the gray. Who knows?
Are you proud of that? Were you proud of that one?
Bars, BARS, baby. Let's go.
Well, thank you for taking away any amount of energy that I have for this episode. The weekend was good up until Sunday morning, in which I made the mistake of watching Manchester United before heading to church. So that probably wasn't
You had some time to pray.
I did, but also, man, I just don't get me started on the midfield or the chances that were blown in the first half. Or
hey, come on, man. We were here for the Dunker Spot. Right. We can't talk about Manchester United. Let's talk about them.
Manchester United. Anyway, the weekend was solid. Aside from that, did you have yourself a good weekend? Did you have some good vibes?
Two thumbs up.
There we go.
Ready to go.
We love to see.
We are psyched up. Speaking of sigh.
What a segue. Wow. Well, the Nets are back in the news. Kevin Durant has not been traded, but it would appear that he has reiterated his desire to. Per Shams Charania, he gave an ultimatum to Nets owner Joe Tsai, basically saying, hey, keep me and get rid of Steve Nash and also Sean Marks, or yeah, I still want to be out of here, which was interesting, bold. According to the Shams report, the meeting between the two was transparent. And I guess it went, well, you got the answers. I don't think there's anything new in that regard. Okay, he's crazy standing his ground. But then the Joe Tsai tweet.
No, wait, before we get to the Joe Tsai tweet, we got to unpack the first part.
Okay.
Since we're here and it's August, we're here, folks. Let's dive into the respectful mess. There was a time period and a lull in the KD news where it kind of just felt like maybe we can float out the KD would not show up. KD would not play. Maybe that's a whole patent. They'll figure it out. Get some of that leverage back. Maybe we got some of the back pocket. And KD was like, nah. I said what I said. I'm not playing. And if nothing else, this is going to be trickier than it's been reported. I don't know if anything's changed, but it gets messier the more you think about it. Like, I don't know if it's, and again, this is just being reckless, but I don't know if it's KD just saying, hey, I really don't want to be here anymore. Or like, okay, these are my terms. Since y'all want to act like maybe I'll stay, I will if this happens. And here's the most ridiculous thing I can think of. Because I don't like the direction, so they gotta go, which is interesting because technically if you go recency bias, both of them could be pointing at each other like the Spider-Man meme. Hey man, you see what the Celtics did to me in the playoffs and who I was playing with? And they can also be like, well, you came here.
And so, part of why we were in eight was because the guy you brought with you is was not there for very much of the season. Like, that could also contribute to.
For a second there, I thought you were going to turn this whole segment into DeAndre Jordan slander, and that was going to be the quickest episode of the Dunker Spot in history. Fans would have been mad confused with 7 minutes on the screen. Hey, but guys, yeah, it's just nasty. It's getting gross out there. And for me, it goes back to, well, Brooklyn has to find a way to nail the trade because it's going to happen. This is the inevitable. You're not avoiding the divorce. There's no reconciliation. It's just, are you going to sign the papers or no?
Oh, man. Like, that's, and I'm glad you kind of hit on the, let me just think of, like, Katie come back on his terms and let me just name the most ridiculous thing. Because, like, I read the report and it's just like, wait. In one paragraph, it's he's resolute in his trade demand, whatever, like, he wants out. And then also, trade me or get rid of those two. And I was like, wait, are you just done, or is there a glimmer of hope for the Nets? Which doesn't even really represent a glimmer of hope if you have to upheave pretty much your front office to keep them.
But it's not a glimmer of hope, because if you do that, what else can you do? That's it. It's over for you. It's putting you basically in a lose-lose scenario.
Yeah.
You either trade me or you keep me, and you got rid of everyone. So, ha, I won. Which is why I think he hit the button, because we have top-level people tweeting. Support for front. How many can you name the amount of people who have done that?
I cannot.
It's a short list.
That man, Joe Tsai, is like, nah, actually, I'm going to stand my ground.
He said, this is my yard now. I will not be seen in this light.
Just for clarity, so for the folks that aren't on Twitter, Joe Tsai, who is the owner of the Nets, tweeted out, our front office and coaching staff have my support. We will make decisions in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets. And that seems pretty pointed and in direct response to Deshaun's report. And so
also it kind of leaves it open if you think about it.
Yeah, the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets thing is like, all right, we're not getting rid of these guys. However, KD, if there's literally anything else that we can do for you that will make you want to change your mind, we are open to it. It pressing the anything but that button. I respect it.
I don't know, man. It's all weird. I'm still not moved. Like, even in the middle of it, it was like, Katie still wants to make the trade. Like, so it's like, what are we really talking about here? I guess here's the thing. I still feel like, and maybe this is a cold take, I don't know if anyone did anything wrong. I don't blame Sean Marks for making the move to try and get those three. I don't blame Steve Nash for taking the opportunity to coach those guys. It just didn't work out. That's just me. I'm listening to you. I'm willing to be talked down to in a way that will make this make sense to me as a conversation point, because it just feels like a lot of chatter. And I'm like, none of this is going to matter if and when the KD trade happens. So what are we talking about?
Yeah, like, I think zooming out, like, I don't know if there was a blatant wrong move made. Like, big picture, like, the Nets, they had the D'Angelo Russell-led, Caris LeVert-led, whatever. They, like, okay, wait, we have an opportunity to add not just one star talent, but to a star talent and also one of the greatest players of all time. Like, let's do that. They tried to add a third star to that, who's also a future Hall of Famer. Like, and we've kind of talked about it on here and also just, like, during watch parties and stuff. Like, you can, I guess, argue the mix of the star talent that they had. And kind of talk about, like, what that bet really looks like when you kind of factor in everything that comes with those three put together. But even then, like, when they were on the court together for as limited as the time they were, their offense basically broke basketball from, like, an offensive rating standpoint. So, like, there was clear evidence that this can work if they can stay healthy enough, stay connected enough, and find enough defense around those three. And it kind of fell apart from there. Like, this past season was just a mess between KD missing a chunk of time and, like, COVID's kind of hitting everyone early in the year. But the Kyrie situation threw an obvious wrench into everything and at the very least added to James Harden's frustrations and eventually asking out. Like, I don't know if you can. You can't game plan for that. And so it just kind of turns into an unfortunate end to what could have been one of the more dominant offensive trios that the NBA has ever seen. It was very short-lived. And now we're here where we don't know if Kyrie's going to be extended. He gets the opt-in. We don't know if he's going to be traded or not. Kevin Durant has now requested a trade. Going back to Kyrie, could the flirting between Kyrie and the Lakers be any louder than it is? Like, I don't think so. So, and through all of this, Ben Simmons is just chilling. Like, the fact that Ben Simmons has gone from major talking point in the NBA to like, oh, wait, he's like fifth or sixth on the list in intrigue with what's going on with the Nets right now. It's kind of
fine. I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the Ben Simmons discourse taking a break until it inevitably comes back. Think about how wild it is that the Ben Simmons left the group chat. Just kind of got buried.
I just don't know how much salt to put it, how much to put into that one.
Man might delete that himself.
Let him know, like, hey, bro, I ain't here for this drama. I'm trying to get right. I'm having surgery. Like, I ain't, you know, like.
Love and light.
It's not love and light. Because I don't think Ben Simmons signed up for any of this. Like, this has the potential to be very much Will Smith in the living room of the mansion of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, like, I was about to say, you could have gone a lot of different directions there.
Yeah, not. we're on TV show Will Smith right now. No.
That was a TV show.
I mean, yeah, you. No, I don't. If we get that report from Ben Simmons, something has gone terribly wrong in Brooklyn. But yeah, I guess in terms of the trade talks now, like Phoenix is, it feels like they're effectively out since they can't move DeAndre Ayton until January. I guess if we are to work under the assumption that one, KD's just being moved, which I think we're both kind of on that page. And two, they want to get this done before the season starts. If those are the parameters, then Phoenix is effectively out with no DeAndre Ayton being available to be traded. With Toronto, like, they've made it very clear, like, we're not trading Scotty Barnes. They still have other things to package, and they have all their picks, so they can put something together. But if the bar for Brooklyn is we want Scotty Barnes before we come to the table, that's not happening. We got the report about Jaylen Brown being in the mix, but even that was quickly shut down as, hey, this talk happened a while ago. I'm not sure why this is coming out now. So I don't know how serious Boston is. It's very much a we can make a move on our terms type situation, as you've spoken about on this podcast. And then there's Miami, who doesn't want to get rid of Bam Adebayo, and rightfully so. And even if they were willing to do so, that would also include Brooklyn trading Ben Simmons because of some contract stuff. Do you see a team kind of sneaking in beyond those three? Because Sean's named those three in the report. Do you see anyone else trying to like creep in with everyone kind of in the holding pattern right now?
No, just because the Nets asking price is the Nets asking price. So I don't, like, this isn't going to change what they are going to look for if they trade KD. They have to hit this trade. So I don't necessarily see you coming in the back door unless you really feel like you had an opportunity and decide that you're desperate to make that move. But how many teams really fall into that line of thinking? And I could be wrong. We've seen it before where a team just decides, hey, you know what, let's swing. But I don't see it.
It's tough. Like, I don't, like, I think the only team that I could see potentially just at least making a phone call, be like, hey, like, I see what's going on. What does this look? How do you feel about this? And then depending on what the answer is or how emphatic the no is, because it's not going to be your best offer off rip. Like, Memphis could throw some stuff out there. I feel like there's a conversation to be had just to see how far they might be willing to go with that. Like, that would be my kind of dark horse, like a Memphis. Like, I've heard Denver floated around as like a, not as a report, but just as an idea. Like, I don't think Brooklyn would want to try to build a boat around a Michael Porter Jr. or Jamal Murray package. Like, I can't see that. Like, Memphis has the mix of prospects and good young players, and I think they control most of their picks moving forward to where they can have the conversation if they want to. Beyond them, I go back to your question when this really first broke. How does Atlanta feel right now? Since they just gave up, they made their move with DeJounte Murray, who is having some fun with pro-am basketball right now. So that's a whole nother thing. Yeah, I don't see it with Atlanta. I don't really see it with Denver. Memphis is intriguing to me. Is there anyone else? I don't think the Clippers have enough. Not unless they're going to trade one of Paul George or Kawhi. And at that point, why?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure the desperation level is going to hit. I'm not sure. It's odd. It's interesting. A couple of things, not even just this move, but we've talked about how much opportunity there is to make moves and open your window. There is no telling how long that window is going to stay open. And that's why I don't necessarily fault the Dallases or the Atlantas of the world where they think they find something and they think, hey, let's ride this out. Because you don't know, like, you don't know if your next move is going to help you or hurt you. And so there's value to making moves, there's value to continuity, but nothing guarantees you benefit of the doubt or the ability to go higher. And that makes it interesting. So if you, I think if you asked anyone in Brooklyn, if they thought this would be the result, they'd be like, no way.
Yeah.
We was just about to beat the Bucks.
And then the season from heck. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's a tough scene for Brooklyn. I don't know what happens with any of their big three at this point. Like, it's weird to me, and I understand why. But like, it's weird to me that Kevin Durant is on the trade block, period. Well, and placed, then it's not.
He placed himself there.
He did. I'm saying, like, that's a wild thing to wrap your head around. Like, Kevin Durant has left. Like, both times he left were through free agency. And now this is Kevin Durant freshly re-signed, 4 years left on the contract. Just like, no, actually, I want out. And that's just a wild concept to me. And then trying to balance, okay, Kevin Durant is really good. Also, Kevin Durant is forcing his way out. And also, wait, Kevin Durant has the injury history and the age. But also, wait, Kevin Durant can just say LOL to any of your offensive problems because he's Kevin Durant. And even with the age, like, he doesn't have a game in which if his 2K speed is a 70 instead of a 75, that gets rated and dropping 8 points. Like, he's always going to be a weapon.
Respectfully, Messi, if KD doesn't quote tweet that tweet, does he lose Twitter reputation?
Are you calling for KD to respond?
No, I'm just asking. Like, is that how that works? I don't know how it works, but it seems like his activity level leaving that tweet untouched. Like, I get why, but also.
I feel like Steve is hitting us with the smoothest. I wouldn't take that. Personally, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take that kind of disrespect. That's just me, though. I feel you, though. He's active on Twitter. He will respond to things that he's tagged in. He will respond to things that he isn't tagged in. He will like tweets referencing him. I will say, like, if by the time this podcast drops, KD hasn't at least liked the tweet in response to the Josiah thing, I will be surprised.
Speaking of surprise, what about the moves from the Sacramento Kings?
How about it? Adding some hashtag veteran presence. Matthew Dellavedova has been signed. So that happened, I want to say, at least according to SportRack, that happened July 29th. We missed that one. More recently, Kent Bazemore and also Quinn Cook have been added to the training camp roster. Probably be the fairest way to place it. 1 year deals. I'm not sure if they're guaranteed or not at this point of the night. We'll get more info on that later, but what does this do for you?
Add some bodies to the Kings practices and preseason games.
Let's see.
Like the majority of training camp offers do. Does absolutely nothing for me.
Let's
It's a make it a little nervous for your boy KZ.
I was trying to tee you up. I was waiting on it.
Nah, no spice. I told you I'm here for the vibes today.
Okay. Well,
that's the thing about training camp. Like, I don't think people understand how good those guys have to play in this era to really make the team. Like, there was a time where you could really make it in those 2 weeks, or at least get a spot where you come back. Like, Kent Bazemore has to be incredibly good to to make them say, you know what, forget these young guys we got. You come stay.
He's going to have to bring the locker room vibes, which he's brought pretty consistently throughout his career. Also, he's going to have to shoot. Like, the shots are going to have to start backfalling for Kent Bazemore. That was not a thing last year.
No, I think Kent Bazemore will be fine. Different environment for him.
Less pressure for him with Sacramento as compared to what the Lakers were trying to do last season. Just did not work on a multitude of fronts. So we'll see. The Dele thing kind of caught me by surprise. I was like, wait, what is the portion for Dele? What is he?
He's a person who can run the point guard position for their team during training camp.
just no juice for the training camp. I see. I'm trying to guess
what I can. What, man? I'm sorry. A jersey has two sides, and the people that don't have the two sides have to put on an additional jersey.
And that concludes our Sacramento Kings training camp roster analysis. Oh, man. Welcome to NBA offseason talk in August. This is what you get. We have no major moves happening right now. That's going to do it there. Let's go to the WNBA side of the program. We'll kick things off with some news. The Phoenix Mercury, who had been surging a little bit as of late, they have taken a blow. Diana Taurasi suffered a quad strain a couple of games ago. She has now been ruled out for the remainder of the season. How much do you think this affects Phoenix's playoff chances? Because they are right in that, they're right in that 7 through 11 seed mixture of teams.
Their ability to make it, they might be okay. Their ability to do anything in the playoffs, I'm not as high on. This worked with what some would call the best backcourt in the W, being the best backcourt in the W, mixed with small ball, mixed with some zone, some pace. We can hurt you that way. Minus Diana Taurasi, it now becomes Skylar Diggins-Smith and friends. And which friends are going to come to the table? And if you had creation problems with those two together, what do you have now? That's no disrespect. It's just the way their team is built right now. So I was screaming from the rooftops for Sky Mercury in the first round. I'm not as excited for that today. It's a bummer for DT, man. She was finally turning the corner. Shots were falling, more activity, and it's over.
And we don't know if it's just over for this season or if she... Well, I can't... Again, I don't have any DT sources or anything of the sort, but like...
We know that. Yep. You snatched you up 48 episodes ago. What you mean?
All right.
That's not breaking news.
All right. A little too much base there. Wait a minute. Don't do me like that. Anyway, I would find it difficult to believe that she caps the career with this finish. And once you consider how well she was playing before the injury, like, there's still something left.
Hey, look, man, I don't mean to cut you off, but if Candace Parker and Diana Taurasi sneak out the back door after the season, we losing Sylvia Fowles, losing Sue Bird, and those two decide, you know what, I'm good too, I'm going to be upset.
I too will be upset. Contrary to popular belief.
You'd be upset about one of those. Yeah. It's okay, though.
See, here we go. Honest, I would be upset about all of them. What do you mean?
Honesty is important between friends.
These are legends of the sport. Yes, I would not be I would not be happy about that.
My bad, King.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess while we're on the Mercury kind of segue to some of the games that kind of stood out for us over the past few days. We can start with Mercury Liberty if you like.
I mean, we don't have to, but I guess since you want to do that, first Liberty mentions in 3 weeks, we're going to talk about both their losses here. That's great. Appreciate you for that, kind sir.
This is bad timing. Also, peel the curtain back. Like, you have access to the show sheet. So if you would like to add,
man, Liberty, don't get me started. This man, you can also do, man. This man sent me the show sheet literally 30 minutes before the pod started, folks.
Why are you lying to these people? No, I did not.
It's fine.
You got the show sheet like 2.5 hours before the watch party started. And then you had additional time since then. So
that's not accurate. It landed at 5:45 p.m. The watch party started at 7. You're already wrong. Don't worry about it.
Hard disagree. Continue.
Look it up while I make this point. Diamond DeShields was on one in that game. 34 minutes, 26 field goal attempts, 25 points. Shea Petty couldn't be stopped. The Liberty couldn't run anything offensively, get any rhythm, any flow, any movement. And then defensively, they couldn't keep the ball in front or stop the cutting. And that was it. 76-62, where the Mercury dominated a game where they shoot 37%.
On the Liberty front, like, how concerning is the what I got a face? What do I do?
Now you want to ask me follow-up questions on Liberty. Come on, bring it. Come on, Nikas. I'm here. Don't worry about it.
What is your concern level with the Liberty's defense?
It's not necessarily, it's better than it was again to start the season. There's just certain matchups, certain issues. If they have size and it's a post matchup where Dolson struggles, aka T.R. McCowan, that hurts you there. If you have matchups where you can't keep the ball in front, aka the Shields, or you have Mabry running loose and pick and roll, it just hurts them. They need to be they're a base team. Their base has to be able to carry them. If you can attack their base and you beat their base, now it opens things up. And this isn't a team, this is a team that can score, but generally they need the stops to enhance the transition so they can balance the half court. If they're just constantly taking the ball out of the net, or not getting easy baskets, it gets interesting. And that's the thing with some teams, not just the Liberty. If you don't necessarily have the quote-unquote defenders, you don't always have the consistency big-wise, you need to be able to rely on X to carry you through these stretches. And when a team presents you with something that hurts that, you find yourself in a dogfight.
I got you.
You feel better about yourself?
I don't feel better or worse. I just wanted to get your insight. We can talk Liberty. We are recording a little bit later than usual on the Monday night since the W actually had a game on a Monday. We just watched Liberty Wings. The Wings have now won 5 straight.
I mean, the Wings are doing the thing.
It's been such a fun stretch for them.
It's a stretch that I did not think that they would do this on, considering we've watched a few of these Wings games where they've kind of just decided, hey, I mean, they clinched a playoff spot tonight, but hey, we're the 6th seed. But I mean, a stretch where you beat Atlanta, beat the Sky, beat the Aces, barely overcome the mild symptoms.
Let me pause you right there. You are not going to keep disrespecting the Indiana Fever. Okay. They are young and they are not good right now. They have a lot. They have 7 rookies on the roster. Like, there are very obvious growing pains. They've had a coaching change throughout this. They've now lost Kelsey Mitchell for the season. Both Mitchells were out for the Dallas game.
You're right.
So this is just,
you're right.
They're trying to get some stuff together.
Hey, they're trying their best. A lot of young talent, a lot of potential in that room. When's the last time they won a game, Nikas?
They've been on a lengthy losing streak. However,
give me the date.
I want to say their last win was in May. June 19th. Okay.
What were you doing on June 19th? You know what you had for dinner? You remember what you did? What you watched on TV?
It would have been... Okay, well, this is following Juneteenth. My money would be on Chick-fil-A. Not 100% sure on that, but...
Anyways, back to the Wings.
Yeah, all right.
It's been a fun stretch. T.R. McCowan has been incredible. We've talked about the Wings' offensive struggles, but they've been able to find a nice flow, even though they're still running horns to a high low entirely too much for my liking. T.R. McCowan is doing the thing ceiling-wise. Now, Marina Mabry has been playing well.
feel like there's a but coming.
I do wonder. And I'm trying to figure out how to say this because Arike is an incredible basketball player. They do seem to be playing with a little bit more purpose when Arike is not in. And I mean, purpose is in, we are going to do this because we have to do this. And the reason why I say it's not slander is because when you have talent, it can sometimes be easier to paint outside the box, paint outside the lines. There's not as much Christmas in your offense because, okay, that didn't work. We can swing it here. We got talent. Oh, Arike will bail us out.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily her fault. She's got talent. They know she does. It kind of happens like that. Now they have to be in a position where McCowan post-ups in the possession. Or they run something and out ends with a post-up. Or they flow into a pick and roll and they're looking for the pass. Or Marina Mabry's coming off pick and roll, hitting the roller, hitting skips. It seems to be more of a understanding. And this is from a team who literally said their key to playing better is passing the ball to each other.
Might be helpful.
On multiple occasions. And they're actually doing Marina Mabry was insane in this Liberty game. Her and Serena going one-on-one, blow for blow.
And she gave, the broadcast kept spamming it in regards to Marina, but the Hezzy was working for her when operating pick and roll. Like, I really did enjoy her pace again, pick and roll. Holding the big and getting to the range of floaters, mixed in some hard drives, got to the free throw line. The pull-up was there. Like, there was a nasty pull-up three over the outstretched arms of, I think, Benaja Laney in that fourth quarter when the wings started to pull away a little bit. And Marina hit us with the, this is my house, after making said shot. It's like, oh.
Yeah, very odd dynamic of a player with 20-plus points saying this is my house and getting low high fives afterwards.
It's very golf clap-ish. I was like, wait, that's not the... Marina's energy is at a 10, and everyone else like, all right, cool. What is Vicky saying next?
Sorry, Dunkers. The hashtag is DapWatch if you wanted to get more into this, but I've been monitoring it all season. But not just those two and their play. It also, you know, you're seeing more from Thornton. You're seeing more from Gray, and their roles kind of just slide right in. Complimentary wise, and their lineup kind of has more sense. Their defense, a little bit more physical. And so it just feels like they're playing the right way at the right time. Now, the interesting part for me is going to be, you're doing all this, you've made the playoffs, and your reward is potentially going to be the Connecticut Sun.
Ooh, the Wings have had some success against this year.
They have. This is very true. I think what they split their first two matchups, they play again. Yeah, they beat them. So now it becomes which team does the thing. Which team forgets how to play offense. And that's where it gets tricky. I asked Nikias, could you pick the Wings against the Sun?
Like, I could see it. Again, like, we're fresh off of a playoff series, like going back to last season, fresh off of a playoff series where Jonquel Jones just wasn't getting the ball in fourth quarters. And Jonquel hasn't been MVP good like she was last year. And so, like, the Sun have been a good offense overall this season, but they have their spurts where it's very much Alyssa Thomas, we need you to create literally everything for us. Or DeJuana, please do something out of this pick and roll. Or Courtney Williams, can you knock down your ninth mid-range jumper of the game? And, like, if those aren't falling, like, it can get kind of shaky. And to your point, the earlier point about the Wings kind of coloring outside the lines offensively, like, having those kind of bailout options in the bag, like, that can help in a playoff setting. Like, the Sun are also a really good defense. It can get to a point where if Arike is back and healthy, like, Arike could just win a game for you because she can't be guarded sometimes. Marina Mabry, as we saw in this Liberty game, she can just get to the shot making and it's tough. And just got to circle back. Like, I also think that's, and this is a point that you've made during watch parties, where it's like playing those two together, that's also why the offense kind of sputters sometimes for the Wings. Because both of those players, like, they're not the same player, obviously, but they both are of the bucket getter variety. And I think what's kind of shifted for the Wings offensively, kind of bounce off your point, having someone like Ty Harris or having someone like Veronica Burton who are more willing to just table set and kind of get the offense into the flow. Like, I think that helps with direction in the half court offense.
It does, but it's also easier to be a more willing table setter if you know you also can do the thing where you go get shots. That's been the thing that I've noticed with Mabry lately. When Arike doesn't play, you see more of the attempts to make the passes. The shots are still going up. I mean, you can both look at a play where she's bringing it up and you know it's going up.
Yeah.
But you do see more of an attempt to pass because you know the ball's going to come back to you. And I don't think that's a slight towards either of them. It's just kind of a basketball thing. When you have two scorers who can also play make, and you also have post players, it becomes difficult for everyone to feel involved like they should. And that's where roster construction is important. And that's where talent is great, but you need the talent to fit together. I say it once, I'll say it again. Your five best, your best lineup is not always going to be your five best players. It's going to be the five players who can play the most. And there's more value to the person who fits in with your top talent or enhances your top talent than the person who might be the best at X, Y, and Z. Just my thought process there. All right, we are going on the Nikias wheel, folks. So you're going to go with Mr. ABO. You're going to go to your Aces weekly segment. You're going to slander Sue Bird's last game. What's up? Where are we going?
Wait a minute. I have no slander for Sue Bird's last game.
Bet
I
not.
I will briefly go back to Friday's action with the Dream and the Sparks. I was in the house for that one as a fan. Was not doing any kind of coverage. I just wanted to enjoy some basketball.
Great seats.
The seats were pretty solid, I must say. But a fun time was had. The atmosphere was electric. Getting to watch a Cheyenne Parker game winner with 0.3 seconds left. Watching the crowd, feeling the crowd, and hearing the crowd just lose their minds after the bucket was an incredible experience. If you have not been to a WNBA game before, go to one. Especially now, since we're hitting playoff time, the crowds are going to be even more electric. The game's going to mean more because it does the playoffs. Go. It's fun. It is electric.
Top five swag surf environment for you?
Okay. There was no swag surfing. there was a swag surf going on in the arena. I personally did not swag surf. So it is Atlanta, though. So, like, if you're going to swag surf anywhere, that would be the environment to do so. Just not my ministry.
The truth comes out, folks.
What do you mean? Atlanta's a great place for music.
The hashtag is Mr. ABO. Continue on.
But anyway, no, it was a fun experience, first and foremost. As far as what happened in the game, aside from the game winner from Cheyenne Parker, Ryan Howard set the tone very early in this one. Not just with the point total, which 14 points in the first quarter would definitely do it for you. She was all over the place on both ends of the floor. It wasn't just her searching her own shot. There was a lot of off-ball movement. And watching her move on a possession-by-possession basis was fun for me. Because, like, I'll watch games on TV or on my laptop or watch games afterwards or whatever. Like, seeing the movement patterns from Ryan Howard in person was an experience. Watching her pacing off the ball, looking to see when she wants to set her defender off. It was a lot of Brittany Sykes. And Brittany Sykes, friend of the program, she also absolutely brought it during this matchup on Friday. And in the second half of that game in particular, the Dream could not keep her out of the paint. And she also had the pull-up going. And if Brittany Sykes has both of those games going, you're not going to have a good time because she's going to knock down pull-ups in your face and let you know about it. She's going to get to the rim and or the free throw line and let you know about it. And she's already amped on the defensive end because she flies around everywhere. Saw some blocks from her. The screen navigation from her on and off the ball was insane. She's very vocal on defense, which that's a positive to the seats that I had in that game, being able to hear Brittany Sykes calling out things or just yelling out after making yet another great play. It was a lot of fun. But Ryan Howard was incredible. The moving patterns. Atlanta's offense absolutely died when she wasn't on the court, particularly in that first half. It's kind of show it's insane how important Ryan Howard already is to this group. It's a testament to her talent, but also with them losing some of their drivers, it's even more important that Ryan Howard is used as the player that kind of moves defenses and makes them rotate and makes things easier for everyone else. Just as a quick dream hat tip, I suppose, in that game, quick shout out to Maya Caldwell, who has really given them some good minutes as of late. Eric McDonald also brought it, point of attack defense, the drives were hitting, got to the free throw line quite a bit in that one. And I think those are all the pleasant things I have to say about this game. The other part of this is that I'm just annoyed with the Sparks right now. And more specifically, I'm annoyed with the Kennedy Carter situation.
Well, I couldn't tell you're annoyed by this with the Sparks by the last time we had a podcast and you talked about the Sparks. So let the Sparks fly, Nikash.
Let the Sparks fly. You know what? I'll let you have it. I just want to know what's going on. What is happening? How have we gotten to the point where Kennedy Carter is getting DNPs, healthy scratches? And when asked about it, it's just a coaching decision. Why are you shortening your rotation on a road trip during a playoff push when you need offense? And Kennedy Carter can provide offense. And in the last four games prior to her being benched, she was averaging an efficient 13 points off the bench and providing some extra offense. I don't get that. That has to be explained to me at a certain point.
Is it a promotion for the other guards? Is it, this is who we're going to lock in with, this is what we're going to play, this is the rotation to finish it out, y'all got to get it done. I'm not saying I agree.
No, I understand.
With not playing, but if you look at it, Jordan Cannon playing big minutes, Brittany Sykes playing big minutes, Lexi Brown playing big minutes.
And even Lexi just got back into the rotation consistently. Mm-hmm.
And so, and Katie Lou's playing big minutes. Whose minutes does she take? That's the one thing with when it comes to coaching and rotations. Eventually, at some point, you have to believe you have the answer to your question. Or at the very least say, hey, this is our rotation. This is what we're playing with. Because if you go wishy-washy, I'm not saying the Sparks did, but when you go with, hey, we don't know which guards are going to do this, you're each going to get a run, that's fine, but you end up looking like Boston did early this season. Where now you don't know where to finish. Best thing that happened to Boston was trading everyone, so hey, these are the only guys you can play. Figure it out. Sometimes that helps. Where you only have an 8-person rotation, and these are the people you play, and you got to figure that out. So I wonder how much of it is just a victim of let's let Brittany Sykes cook. Jordan Cannon is going to play. Like, I don't know.
Like, I definitely understand that argument in a vacuum. I think I get more disillusioned and kind of want to dig deeper into what's happening with Kennedy in particular. When like Kiana Smith has gotten a stint in each of the last two games, like 4 or 5 minute stints, but she's gotten an extent. And I'm just like, what have we seen from Kennedy's film, at least especially recently, to signify that she isn't deserving of a 4 or 5 minute stretch, period. Like, she's just completely out. And Kiana Smith has not been in the rotation this season. And so that's where I'm just like, okay, what? There has to be something else. Because just from a basketball perspective, like, I don't, like, what is it? Like, if the concern is I don't want to play a guard that gets helped off of because of poor three-point shooting, we don't want to play them big minutes, that kind of throws the Jordan Canada thing for a loop.
I think it's, to me, a promotion of the starting lineup. I'm going to ride my starters, and it may be easier to give one player a short stint than another player a short stint. There are some players where they either got to be in or they got to be out. Like, don't throw them out there for 1 4-minute stretch. You might as well just not have played them. Now you got to deal with a whole nother set of circumstances because you threw them out there for 1 first-quarter stretch. They ain't really do nothing. Didn't catch a rhythm. Now you bench them. They don't come back in the second half. Now you got to deal with that. Sometimes it's easier to just go and be like, hey, this is where we're going the next couple games. Stay ready, but also Not that I agree with it, just thought bubbling it here.
Oh, I got you. Like, I appreciate that perspective. Like, that might just be what it is. And again, like, I'm not someone on the inside of that locker room. Like, I don't know what happens in practice. So very much could have been, hey, Coach Fred Williams isn't seeing things that he likes in practice, or I don't know. Like, I don't know the behind the scenes of it, but just it's odd to me, especially when I was in Atlanta for the game Friday. Like, it's odd to see an engaged Kennedy Carter on the bench in like Sparks warmups. And it's like, wait, she's like, and I asked, like, wait, was she on the injury report? Again, this is a game that I just went to. This wasn't one I was covering. And I was like, I tweeted out, like, is she on the injury report? Because I know she didn't play the last game. Did I miss something? And it just wasn't that. And so I just, it stinks for me, like, as a fan of Kennedy's game to see this, because I think she's, well, yeah, I think she's worthy of playing time just by how talented she is. And then once you add in the context of how the Atlanta stint ended for her and the weirdness surrounding that and her basically just not playing last season because of everything that was going, well, I can't even say everything that was going on. I came on this podcast plenty of times, like, are we just not going to get news on why she's not playing? Why is there radio silence here? So to have that weirdness, and then we get the Sparks thing to where there's been plenty going on with the Sparks this year, like the Liz thing and Derek Fisher and all kinds of stuff. And now it's Kennedy getting healthy scratches during a playoff push while the Sparks are fresh off of losing one of their offensive hubs. Like, you would think if there was a time for Kennedy Carter to have a consistent role, it would be now. And we saw it in spurts. And she produced offensively.
Question for you.
What's up?
Are you going to keep the same energy for the Aces?
Because
you've come on this pod and criticized DeAndre Jordan starting, and you just had this rant. The Aces went with Stokes over Hamby.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts?
I found it interesting. It was, I think I said during our watch party, like, I was surprised that it's happening now, or that it took this long for it to happen. Because the thing with the Aces starting lineup has been very good this season. De'Erica Hamby was an all-star this year. She is and has been a good player. I do think that there are some diminishing returns with her offensively, with how she's been used, particularly during the seasons that she's won Sixth Woman of the Year. It's been a lot of grab and goes for her in transition. But in the half court, it's allowing her to operate on the block, either with like post splits or flowing into handoffs and stuff from there. Like, they used her a little bit more when she was coming off the bench and kind of seeing what the game flow was. And so with the Aces bench having the struggles that they've had, I've kind of had in the back of my mind, like, I wonder if they would just go back to De'Erica in the bench. And as we got later in the season, it's just like, okay, well, I guess it probably isn't going to happen. And then it did against the Storm. And it's like, huh. Surprising. I get it. Because one, I think that can be a way to engage her a little bit more offensively in the half court. And two, going with Kia Stokes in particular, like, I feel like that was very much matchup based. Like, coming in, you know, like, Tina Charles is going to get post touches. And I think Kia is more equipped to deal with those than De'Erica is. And you don't want Asia banging with Tina Charles. Not that she can't do it, but just as an energy conservation type thing, you don't want that. And so that's kind of what my mindset was once I got the news that she wasn't starting. I guess my question for, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
What about the result?
The Aces won.
All right, Nikias.
Go ahead.
How were you in 2007?
How old was I in 2007?
Mm-hmm.
I would have either been 12 or 13, depending on what time in 2007.
12 or 13. 2007, August, there was a song that came out by Britney Spears. You know what it was called?
Oh, this should be good.
No?
What have you got?
Give me more. You're going to have to give me more on this subject. What did you just tell me? The Aces won? That's what you said? Do you not see? This is the thing. I feel like you forget. You say words, and I, as your podcast, what's my title? Let me check the contract real quick. I'm allowed to say. Your podcast teammate, I believe that's the word I can use.
Wow.
I hear the words you say, and I absorb them, and I carry them from take to take.
Uh huh.
So you're just going to give me the Aces won. No thought about the Aces having a great starting lineup, making this move towards the end of the season. Hamby doesn't have it going. Now you're not necessarily getting her going with the second unit. 17 minutes, dot, dot, dot. Nothing. Just matchup based, they won. You played the result.
No, I had to leave that for you. You know, this is the two-person podcast.
That's all you got for me on it? Okay, all right. What are the Aces takeaways you got for me on this day where they decided to just ruin Sue Bird and the Flower Girls vibe?
Sorry, this point. No, in all seriousness, like, you asked me during the watch party, like, who are the Aces going to close with? And I was like, oh, they're probably still going to close with De'Erica. Like, I think they're just going to match those minutes and then finish with their lineup. Because, again, the starting lineup has been very, very, very good. And so 17 minutes surprised me. Like, I expected a shift in minutes, obviously, with her not starting, but I didn't think it was going to be that low. And so part of me wonders, as I look, you know, no Ileana Rupair in that game either, no Teresa Plaisance. Like, it was very much a shortened rotation. Like, I wonder, was this just, hey, we're facing the storm, I want to see what this looks like, let's make this shift, or if this is going to be De'Erica Hamby's just coming off the bench the rest of the year?
It seems odd to go there and then go back. I think, in a sense, Stokes may fit the lineup in a way that where, hey, you four do stuff. Mm-hmm. And the question is now, can you unlock Hamby down the stretch? Because you're going to need her. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what role, you're going to need her to hit your ceiling. And you want her to have an impact. So I'm just intrigued to see how it goes down the stretch. But figured I'd ask you our resident Aces interest. I mean, expert, and I would hope this would move us away from Sue Bird slander. That was my goal.
I don't have Sue Bird slander. I wish you had more positive thoughts about me in regards to Sue Bird. I don't have anything bad to say.
I've listened to this podcast. What I'm does here. That mean? You literally, during the watch party, said, oh, Sue Bird's guarding Chelsea Gray? Oh, Sue Bird's guarding Kelsey Plum?
Yeah, because my friend, it was surprising. Like, in regards to the Kelsey Plum thing in particular, it was surprising because the Storm started the game out with Gabby Williams on Kelsey Plum. And I was like, okay, I get this. Gabby Williams is an incredible defender. She is rangy. I've had paint touch questions about the Aces as of late. That is a way to kind of neuter those drives from Kelsey Plum. And sure enough, in that first quarter with Gabby Williams defending her, I don't think she generated a paint touch in the half court the entire time that they were matched up with each other. Once we got some subs from the Storm, then we started to see a little bit more aggression from Kelsey Plum. She was getting the threes up while Gabby was in. But once the subs came in, she was able to attack more and get downhill a little bit more. And so once we get into the second half and the matchups are basically static and it's Sue Bird on Kelsey Plum, I was like, wait, it wasn't even a disrespect to Sue. It was more so, why did you go away from something that was working?
I think that game made it very clear. If the Storm are going to do whatever the Storm think they're going to do, Sue Bird and Jewel Lloyd have to do it. I think we'll get a more aggressive Sue, but they need Jewel Lloyd for this to work.
Yeah, a singular point is not going to cut it. And even beyond that, like, it didn't feel like... It's one thing to have a terrible shooting night. It's another to feel like she wasn't really involved. And I feel like that's a bigger issue. It didn't feel like she was featured. Like, I mean, part of that is just going to be, one, Sue's running the offense, two, Breonna Stewart cooked that entire game.
Yeah, she read your MVP tweets. She read your MVP thoughts and she has something to say.
29-6 and the win for Asia. I just want to throw that out there. But no, like, so that's going to be part of it for the Jewel Lloyd touches. But also, she has to do more. Like, she has not been as good as she was last season. And if the Storm are to advance, like, to bounce off your point, they're gonna need more from Jewel Lloyd specifically.
See, that's where the slander comes right there. You just dissue. I'm not prepared for Storm Mystics. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not prepared for one of those teams to go home immediately.
Doesn't seem fair to either one of them.
Like, immediately, one of them is just going to be out of here. We got the wings.
Why are the wings catching a stray? What is this? What did they do to you? They are trying to, they're also trying to figure some things out. The best player goes down. It's like, all right, Bet Marina, we need more of you. Tierra McCowan, we need more of you. Kayla Thornton, who has been very good.
We already did the wing segment.
I know. I'm just saying, I now have to reiterate this because you just hit him with a stray out of, you hit him with the RKO out of nowhere. And I just want to know why.
That's best used out of nowhere. It's fine. Mystics, weird weekend for the Mystics, by the way.
Yeah, they were getting bum rushed by the Sky until they weren't. And then they lose to the Sparks on Sunday following just dog. How do you call a foul? And then you're like, actually, no, it's not a foul. And also, we're not going to review this. Also, we're just walking up the court. You got to deal with this. Natasha Cloud takes the heave. Also, one, foul up three. Two, if you're not going to foul up three, then at the very least, move out the way. Why is Jordan Canada going with a hard closeout on a 40-foot three from Natasha Cloud as time expires? Like, it's got to be one or the other. If you're going to foul, like, go for the intentional foul early so there's no chance for a tie. And if not, there wasn't enough time for her to get to, like, a regular pull-up three. Like, it's a heave. Don't put yourself in position to potentially give up three free throws. But also, the refs just bottled that. They flat out bottled it.
And they dipped, too.
Yeah, like, that's the wild. I'm just like, wait, how is there no nothing?
Nope.
Just, I hate that for y'all.
I thought, I was sitting there, we were watching, I was waiting to see, hey, there's got to be a review, obviously. There's got to be something. There was some sort of contact. Not a conference. Nothing. they were out of there.
It was wild. Like, we saw the shot and the foul that just wasn't whatever. Then we get the camera on Natasha Cloud walking off. Then it was like three replays. And then they go back to the game and it's like empty court and the security workers on the court. So I'm like, wait, y'all just ain't gonna say nothing?
This is a bad example, but you know, in 2K, when you like do something at the end of the quarter and they do the review, and they show a whole bunch of stuff, but then they eventually show the ref giving you some sort of signal.
Yeah.
It felt like that, minus the refs giving you a signal at the end.
Like, I feel like that's the important part of this. Let us know what's going on. Natasha Cloud went straight to Twitter, tweeted out, "Find me. Our officials are trash." And I'm just like, yeah, like, I mean, it ain't been great.
Bro, it ain't been great. Respectfully, Messi, what do you think the first, second, and third drafts of that tweet were?
Probably expletive filled. I'm gonna be honest, I think she had some unpleasant words. Probably said number 11 to my SpongeBob enthusiasts out there, but like, that couldn't have been, you can't do that. You gotta at least give an explanation. You can't just walk off the court like that.
Well, again, our timing is just impeccable with the W, because the Mystics had a day where they just couldn't get the shots to fall. EDD was 2 for 12, which probably points to, if I'm a playoff team, let's figure out how to take her away. Much easier said than done, but we can lower that ceiling if we just make that tough. But I don't know, man. It's going to get crazy. Speaking of crazy, Nafisa Collier, salute to you.
Yeah, the fact that she's playing this year is...
less than 3 months after giving birth?
It logged nearly 21 minutes. And, like, the defense was solid. Like, this is an all-defense caliber player when she's at her best. So, like, she's solid already. Post-check, like, that's...
less than 3 months. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, man.
That amazing.
That's insane. It deserves entirely more respect than it's going to be given.
That's not an easy thing to do at all.
Not even close. Are you kidding me? Women are incredible. You should respect them more.
Yeah. One would think, right? It should be the way that it goes. And society continues to tell us, like, no, we're just not going to do that. You got to do better about that.
3 months, dog.
Yeah. Shout out to Nafisa Collier and congrats again to her and her. I don't know if it's husband yet, fiance at the very least. Hard for me to keep track of this.
No. That is Nikias Duncan at Nikias NBA doing that.
What are you? Congrats on the child once again. Anyway, nah,
you got to do your Googles there, buddy.
Well, I will do my Googles, and if I misspoke and said something bad, we will edit this out.
But, oh, Nikias, I did not have you getting us out of here on the bingo board.
I certainly didn't try to say anything disrespectful. We'll do some editing, man. That's fine.
No, leave it in.
I am not trying to get us out of here. So. It's all right. So for our listeners, if you just hear random Steve laughter, you don't worry about it. Anyway. Oh, man. So 7-11 in the W. So we get into some playoff talk to close things out. Atlanta schedule. They have 2 games against the Liberty. That's going to matter. They have a game coming up against the Aces. We'll see how that goes. Phoenix is closing with Minnesota, Dallas, and Chicago. The Sparks are playing Connecticut twice and also playing Dallas. Minnesota is on the road against Phoenix. They're facing Seattle at home and then on the road against Connecticut. This is a race, man.
Wings are in. Sorry. Goodness gracious. I don't know if the math can work. I've been wanting to say the Lynx are going to sneak into the playoffs. Very quietly, but quietly kept. That's not the most fun end of season stretch.
Yeah, Phoenix, Seattle, Connecticut.
Unless the Suns just have nothing to play for, which could very well happen. But
yeah,
I don't know. But I don't know. Seattle's got something to play for. I don't know if Minnesota loses that game at home, the potential last one for Sylvie Fowles.
Yeah.
So the Lynx could sneak in there.
Look, I would say, like, yeah, like, Diana's out for Phoenix. I would assume Skylar Diggins-Smith is going to be back for this one. She didn't miss the last game. Just wasn't with the team. But if she's also out again, then you're without that backcourt. Like,
I'm going to be bold, Nikias. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But it's going to be the Lynx and whoever wins that Dream Liberty series.
Ooh.
Those are your two.
Okay. I can see it. I understand why, obviously, but man, your excitement level for Phoenix like 2 weeks ago versus now it's just that I don't see him in. It's unfortunate. Like, injuries stink.
I'm not happy about it either, but I could be wrong. You know, come up here on next Monday and woo, basketball woo. Never know.
You never know, indeed. I want to see the Lynx in it. Like, I want to see more Sylvia Fowles. And they have a fun and talented group when they're right. And so you're getting Nafisa Collier for this last push. Like, I would imagine, like, the conditioning is going to get better as she plays more and practices more. Like, she's back now. And so I don't think she's far off from playing. She just played 20 minutes and I think 51 seconds officially. So I don't think she's far off from playing 25 minutes a night. They have Sylvia Fowles is going to be a walking. You gotta send a double on Sylvia Fowles still. So she's a walking pressure point. If Kayla McBride has the shot going, if you have Ariel Powers in the lineup and she's shooting and if she's driving the way that she does and also has the shot going, Rachel Bannon bombing away. We've talked about Mariah Jefferson on this podcast and the season that she's having. She's been very good for them. They have talent. They have shooting. They have a pressure point on the post. Now you're adding Nafisa Collier to the mix to add some more versatility defensively and kind of fill some gaps offensively as well. It's a fun unit.
Look, it's going to be whoever wins that Lynx Mercury game and the Liberty. That's what we got.
All right. Oh, man. If it got Atlanta feeling. Ah, that's so tough.
I mean, it'll probably end in the Dream driving past the Liberty and me being upset because Marine didn't play. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You got any free throws, man?
I do. In fact, I have a few free throws for you, if that is okay with you.
Oh, do we want to do the thing that we didn't do last time?
Yeah, we can indeed do the thing that we didn't do last time. My apologies, folks.
It's fine.
We basically had on a prior podcast, we had a WNBA roster building game, which we picked the 7-player rotation. And the caveat was that the players could not add up to average more than 82 points per game based on their current season stats. And we were tasked with doing that on the NBA side with the same 82 point per game parameter, which made it much tougher. But Steve, who was your team or teams?
I have three teams.
Of course.
I was working tirelessly to try to get these in on time last pod. Nikias almost ruined our entire interview trying to fix his and then didn't ask the question. So now on 10 days, he has 9 lineups. It's fine, though.
I just don't have 9 lineups. Much like the WNBA one, I've worked really hard to get the one that I felt the most comfortable with.
Oh, okay. This one was difficult. 82 points does not go very far. So whatever team building strategies you had, you kind of have to just buy into one thing, because any bucket getter, like your Klay Thompsons, Tyler Heroes, you just lost 20. Like 20's gone. So here's what I went with. Number one, Mike Conley.
Okay.
Marcus Smart.
All right.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Okay.
PJ Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond Green.
All right.
Thaddeus Young.
Mm-hmm.
And Kaze Akpala.
You put Kaze Akpala on your roster on purpose. You are the most shameless individual I know. That is incredible. You slandered me for 8 months straight on Kaze Akpala, and then you put this man on your team.
3.7 points per game. I needed it.
Unbelievable.
He fit into the mold. We got defense, we got fit size, switchability.
Oh,
it was the 3.7 points. But yeah, I went with
shameless
size and defense. Good luck scoring on us. Here's team number two.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So basically, I decided with this team, I'm going to put LeBron and Steph on a team together.
Okay.
They were already just locked in.
Okay.
Which left me with, they combined average 55.8 points a game.
So you have a smooth 26 points to give 5 players?
Yep.
What on earth?
So here's how we rounded that out.
Oh, no.
So we had Steph Curry, LeBron James, Gary Payton II.
Okay.
Matisse 7,
right?
Matisse Thybul.
Brother.
Wes Matthews.
Okay, that's a good stealth move.
Xavier Tillman.
Uh-huh.
And Nerlens Noel.
You know what? That ain't half bad.
That's the best I could do.
That ain't half bad. What's the third team?
And then I tried to be balanced, and it didn't come out that great. Oh,
brother.
I also wanted to troll you by adding Chris Paul.
Ah, I see.
So I added Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Desmond Mayne.
Mm-hmm.
Herb Jones.
Okay.
And this is where I used a hack.
Oh, this would be good.
Michael Porter Jr.
Wow.
He only averaged 9.
Yeah, that's all.
Al Horford.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went Jose Alvarado and Carmelo Anthony.
Okay. You got your bucket getter off the bench.
I couldn't justify anyone else in the 13-point range. So Melo it was. What do you got, Nikias?
Wow. Okay. Well, Kaze Akpala. I can't believe you. Anyway.
On the main team, too.
On the main team. That is insane behavior. Anyway, I went with Steph Curry. Steph at the 1. We got Lonzo at the 2. Herb Jones at the 3. Nick Batum at the 4. Robert Williams at the 5. Off my bench, I have Alex Caruso and Draymond Green.
That's a very Nikias Duncan team. I think you did good on that one, man.
I appreciate it.
It's good stuff.
Kaze Akpala.
What's up? I needed the points. He sure didn't get them.
I have 6 free throw questions for you. and I am going to bed. This is nearly 11:30 Eastern. What anyway? Who's the Sky's second best player?
The Chicago Sky's second best player. That's tough. I have a difficult time with this question. Emma Meesman is very, very good. Elliot Copper's really good. Courtney Vandersloot.
Okay. All right. More likely to be on a different roster next year, Kennedy Carter or Breonna Stewart?
Yes.
All right. Tierra McCowan or Azaré Stevens?
Azaré.
Okay. Better defender. Stealing this one from a group chat that I am in. Better defender, Anthony Edwards or Donovan Mitchell?
I can't go equal. I mean, I'm going to go Donovan on principle, I guess.
Okay. DeJounte Murray or De'Aaron Fox?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I think 9 times out of 10, I would have said De'Aaron Fox without thinking about it. DeJounte's defense probably moves the needle for me, but De'Aaron Fox is very good, and I feel like people have forgotten about it. So because of that, I will just go De'Aaron Fox.
Okay. If you can plug one 90s team into today's NBA, who would you use?
If I could plug, like, just to watch them?
Yeah. Who would you want to see?
One 90s team.
Indeed.
Like, has to be 90s or can it be 99, 2000? Because I'm plugging the Blazers in. But no, I think they count as 2000s.
Yeah, that would be it, yeah.
The Knicks, just to bother you.
Yeah, I don't know. They run a bunch of empty corner.
Can we talk about that, by the way? This man, Big Nikias, Big Modern Basketball Duncan, Mr. Oh, the 90s are bad. This is real basketball. Well, we watched Knicks Rockets in Game 7 of the 94 Finals, and they ran so much empty corner pick and roll that I am disgusted that you do not appreciate what Pat Riley did for the game. You want to typecast this Knicks team as just all defense and all the spacing and everyone's in the paint. Nah, man. Empty corner all day.
They're running empty corner inside the three-point line with like three people standing in the paint.
That's not true. That's not true. Everyone was spaced. The only issue was
20 feet from
the- No, they were all above the 3-point line. Then Charles Oakley took a step in because I'm not shooting a three. And the other problem with the pick and pop on the empty corner is like they just pre-rotated because
nobody else was,
really shooting like that. That's why pre-rotating ended once guys could really shoot.
The evolution, modern basketball.
Oh,
God. We got spaces in the front court now.
Oh, God. We need to watch more classic games. I can't wait. I cannot wait to just, oh.
Shout out to the Rockets, by the way.
Why?
Fun team.
Oh.
Good stuff. Hakeem was doing the thing, you know?
Give me the 92 Blazers as well.
Okay.
I'd be very interested to see how teams would get treated from past eras in this era. Anyways.
Okay.
What else you got?
That was my six.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Does Cristiano Ronaldo want to be? You want to be there?
No, I don't. I think society has progressed past the need for Cristiano Ronaldo.
Are you guys going to beat Brentford?
We better, man. Good God. I'm firing up FIFA after this pod.
Doc Rivers said Tyrese Maxey is the most impressive young player he's ever had. Thoughts?
Most impressive?
That's what he said.
I don't know if he's being truthful about that. So, Doc coach young T-Bag. So
how is the question, the answer to that question, Doc Rivers is a liar? Just leave Glenn alone.
No, because I asked him, before you move forward, how old was, because Doc Rivers coached the T-Mac Magic.
Of course, you're gonna take this as T-Mac slander. I think he's up and coming young player. Just answer the question.
Tracy McGrady was 21 in 2000. Oh, what do you mean up and coming? He was younger than Tyrese Maxey. I don't know. I'm not accepting that. I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness.
No disrespect gracious. To Tyrese Maxey. He was not.
It's all disrespect.
It's not.
It's just all disrespect.
It's just not. I can't let that slide.
He said he's the most impressive young player he's ever had.
He had Tracy in McGrady at the same coaching. Age.
His work ethic.
Tyrese Maxey does work, probably works a whole lot harder than T-Mac did. But also, T-Mac, we're not doing this. You literally had a Hall of Fame. See, you're not trapping me into a Doc Rivers rant at 11:30.
I don't think how many years had T-Mac played, though?
When he got to Orlando, that would have been year 4 for him, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, how many years has Tyrese Maxey played?
2.
All right, I think that's the difference there for you. Anyways, I'm glad that triggered you. You got to run the offense. Do you like the Warriors' new classic uniforms?
Yes.
Is it the best uniform you've seen this summer?
No.
No?
No. No, absolutely not. I would say the Spurs have some alternates coming out. The shorts are really good. But like, no, so the Spurs have some alternates that I like more.
The black ones that say Sasks.
They say what?
that's the one.
Oh man, design's good. The design's good, man.
Oh brother, it's not even better than the Fiesta one. You know Keith Bogan is an assistant coach.
I did not know he was an assistant coach.
Pistons. There you go.
Yeah. Small world. Good for Keith Bogans.
Wow. Let me check his age real quick.
What? Okay.
Udonis Haslem. Should he come back or no?
In what capacity?
As a player.
No.
Okay. Mike Muscala excited for his return to the Thunder.
He should help their spacing.
What's that mean?
They need someone. Need some shooting. They don't have a lot of it on the roster. He should help.
You got a shooting coach.
This is true. They do have a chip off the old block.
What'd you just say to me?
Oh, man.
What'd you just say to me?
What do you mean?
Hey, man. Who are your top 5 players under the age of 25?
Oh God. In which league?
NBA.
Top 5 under 25. Oh geez. Now I need to think about who's 25. Giannis is no longer 25. So Luka's in there, obviously.
Got Luka in there.
Luka's definitely in there. Let me pull up an age. Hold on.
Let you check some ages real quick.
I was gonna say totally on brand for me.
There you go. You don't have to put them in order. I just need your 5.
I got you. I'm just trying to. Okay. Do they actually not have an age filter on NBA.com? That's amazing. Yes, they do. All right. 25 or less. Let's see what we can do here. This is fantastic podcasting. Luka's absolutely on the list.
Okay.
Tatum's on the list.
Okay.
Make sure I'm not forgetting anybody. We have Luka. We have Tatum. I think Trey's in there. Luka, Tatum, Trey, Jaws in there. Devin Booker would probably cap the 5 for me, unless I'm forgetting someone super obvious. Because I don't know if I would have, like, Bam would be on the short list. I don't know if I have him in the top 5 right now.
Does Devin Booker count? That man is 25 years old.
He's 25.
Under the age.
Oh, under the... Okay, well, if we're taking Booker out. In that case, Bam or Ink... I'll throw Bam in the mix then.
Okay. The hashtag is Big Agenda. Kendrick Perkins is top 5 players under 25. Luka Doncic, Ja Morant, Trae Young, Jason Tatum... He had Anthony Edwards over Bam, but we got 4 to 5. That's good enough for me, folks.
Wow. That's wow. Wow. Did you have more? Was that the capper for you?
Sometimes I may burn bridges, but it's because I know how to swim. Carry on. Dot, dot, dot.
You know what? That's my cue. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Dunker Spot. If you have not already, please subscribe to us. We are on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us. You can find me on Twitter at NikaiasNBA. You can find Steve on Twitter at SteveJones20. Please hop in the Dunker Spot community if you have not already on Twitter. If you have those capabilities, just type in Dunker Spot, send your request. We'll get you in there. Fun conversations are being had in there. Also, join the Dunker Spot watch parties. We are watching W games right now. We're watching classic NBA games. I am sure we will probably watch some football, I would imagine. So that's going to be coming up as that starts. Do that. Have some fun with us. And with that, we will catch y'all later.
I get buckets, or I move the ball for a living.